Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Many of you listening might already be fans of the excellent podcast and Netflix series Song Exploder, which invites musicians and their collaborators to come on and break down how a particular song was created step by step. Now, Song Explorer host Rishikesh Hirway and acclaimed journalist and author Susan Orlean have joined forces to launch a new podcast for literary lovers everywhere. It's called Book Exploder. The show invites authors on to break down one passage from their work and explain what went into getting that section just right. Listeners will gain insight into the writing process of literary giants like George Saunders, Min Jin Lee, James McBride, Michael Cunningham, Carmen Maria Machado, Celeste Ng, Tiare Jones, and of course, Susan Orlean herself. The first episode of Book Exploder launches today, and I'm joined by creator and executive producer Rishikesh Hirway. Hi, Rishikesh.
Hi. So nice and to be on the show again. I didn't get to talk to you last time, but I spoke to your guest host, Carrie Nolan.
Oh, well, you're going to get a face full of me for the next 20 minutes. Nice to see you. And Susan Orlean, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Allison, how are you?
I'm great. May I call you Rishi?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. How did you get the idea for Book Exploder?
Well, I first came to Susan about it way back in 2018, and I was looking through some old emails. I'd been doing Song Exploder at that point for a few years, and I got approached about doing a live event sometime to interview a musician on stage. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I suggested to the organizers, maybe something different. Maybe I could interview an author. At that point, I think I'd done a bunch of events with musicians, and it just seemed like an exciting idea to me. And then I couldn't get it out of my head. And then soon after that, Susan and I became friends. And Susan was hosting a podcast called Crybabies. That was wonderful. And after that ended, I thought, well, maybe this is my chance. Maybe here's an opening.
Susan, what did you think of the idea?
I absolutely loved it right off the bat. I'm a bit of a craft nerd, so I'm really interested in the mechanics of writing. And often when authors are interviewed, it's about the content of their book. In this case, the idea that Rishi was proposing really kind of touch that part of my nerdiness, which is, tell me how you like actually built this. How did you make this come together? And in addition, I love any entry point to a topic that's through a very narrow portal. I think it's a really interesting way to get to some big issues by going through something very narrow. So this idea that we would take one passage and look at it and say, tell me how you built it, which of course this subject goes on from there. It's never limited to those words on the page, but so much about the way the whole book came to be. But I love that entry point, and it just was an immediate connection for me.
Susan, what's an example of one of those micro points, one of those crafting micro points that led to a macro revelation?
I think a lot of the times I both in my episode with Rishi and with subsequent ones, we sometimes focus on just a word choice. And, you know, word choices, I think as a reader, you don't appreciate the fact that each word is actually chosen and that there are almost infinite possibilities for a writer to choose a word, one word versus another. Very often, and I will talk about this first episode where I was talking about a small passage in the library book, and there was a particular choice of words that referred to the books in the LA library burning, and I mentioned that the cookbooks roasted. And we discussed this, why did I pick that word? And there was a real thought behind it, which was to give the reader a tiny moment of humor, or almost a relief from the grimness of the topic, and to keep the rhythm of the passage moving in a particular way. And it really was not just about that word. It was very much the whole tone of the book, in fact, that this was a very serious subject about the largest library fire in American history. But there are moments where you can sit back and be delighted by either the sound of the language or some of the anecdotes that unfolded in the course of it. It was not unrelenting grimness. And so that word was both very specific to that sentence, but also kind of embodied a lot of the tone of the whole book.
Rishi, you know, with Song Exploder, obviously you have the auditory component to support the conversation. It's a little bit different with the written word. What were the conversations like about how to structure? I'm asking you to put your executive producer hat on now, about how to structure the podcast and how to handle that fact.
Well, you know, the real challenge was, how much of the book do we include? In Song Exploder, we get to play the whole song, but here it's just a passage. And what constitutes enough? Enough of the story that you feel like you can talk about it. Obviously, we can't read the whole book at the end. But I never was too worried about the idea of written words in an audio context, because, I mean, just personally, I listen to a ton of audiobooks. And a lot of times, even when I am reading a book, I'll get the audiobook too, because I love to experience it both ways. And in fact, the library book, I first listened to as an audiobook, and then, you know, after getting about a chapter or two in, I was like, well, let me get the hard copy as well. And for me, it doesn't diminish the experience. It's a different experience than reading it, but I think it's also exciting. And I think it's particularly exciting to hear an author read their own words.
Oh, what a lovely segue you just gave me, Rishi, because I'm going to ask Susan to read the segment, the passage that is actually the first episode is about from the library book.
Great.
And this is from quite early on in the book. At first, the smoke in the fiction stacks was as pale as onion skin. Then it deepened to dove gray. Then it turned black. It wound around fiction A through L, curling in lazy ringlets. It gathered into soft puffs that bobbed and banked against the shelves like bumper cars. Suddenly, sharp fingers of flame shot through the smoke and jabbed upward. More flames erupted. The heat built. The temperature reached 451 degrees and the books began smoldering. Their covers burst like popcorn. Pages flared and blackened and then sprang away from their bindings, a ream of sooty scraps soaring on the updraft. The fire flashed through fiction, consuming as it traveled. It reached for the cookbooks. The cookbooks roasted.
That was Susan Orlean reading from the library book. That's about the 1986 library fire at the Los Angeles Central Library. And, you know, Susan, Rishi points out in the episode that it reads, you know, it's nonfiction, but it feels like you're reading, it's a novel in many ways. It's got that sort of sensibility about it, or one might feel like they're reading a novel, a really good story. Of course, nonfiction can be good stories too. But how do you think about when you're writing the kind of, what your parameters are in terms of the facts versus the creative part of nonfiction writing?
I think it's a really important question, and one that I have a very strong feeling about, which is nonfiction is fact. It is based in the facts. There is no gray area. There is no squishiness. It's either it really happened or it belongs in fiction. The techniques, the voice, the structuring, the language, the poetry of the writing all borrows from the techniques of fiction. But it's, I think, absolutely essential, maybe now more than ever, when we're in a world in which people are not sure what's truth and what's lies, that we make a very clear, bright line. And as a nonfiction writer, part of the reason I write nonfiction is that grappling with the truth is what becomes interesting. How do I present this set of facts as they were in a way that's really compelling and narratively interesting? If I just can add or change or, you know, then I should be writing fiction. I mean, fiction is wonderful, and a lot of fiction is rooted in a lot of reporting. A lot of fiction is based enormously on people getting factual information to substantiate the kind of truth of their story. But nonfiction has to be, there is no in between. And when I teach, I really try to emphasize this to students because, you know, we really are in a post-truth environment in ways that we shouldn't be. I think a reader who is told that they are reading something that is nonfiction should have the absolute understanding and trust that what they're reading is true. Period.
Yeah, the truth is not elastic.
It is not. And, you know, stories don't always turn out the way you want them to. They're not so tidy and neat. I mean, when I wrote The Orchid Thief, I certainly expected to see a ghost orchid, and that would have been a very neat and tidy ending to The Orchid Thief. And I didn't see one. And I wasn't going to lie about it. And in fact, then I had to think about, well, what does it mean that I never saw it? Mm-hmm. It actually meant a lot. And in a way, it enriched the meaning of the book. The fact that often achieving what you dream of is less satisfying than aspiring to something. And in a way, I felt like, well, that really is more the message than getting the thing you want. In the library book, I wanted to find the perpetrator of the arson. I wanted to solve it, and I did not. Not to have any spoilers here, but I did not. And yet, that's the nature of storytelling. And to me, it was very appropriate that, and I'm not a forensic investigator, and my dream of solving this 20-year-old crime was a little bit crazy to begin with, but stories don't need to be tidy to be meaningful. Mm. And ultimately, this is a book that sort of celebrates the very soul of storytelling, which is full of loose ends, and as this one is.
Rishi, what did you learn? What have you learned from making Song Exploder that has been useful in starting up Book Exploder?
Well, sometimes I get the question about Song Exploder, you know, does it ever ruin the magic of the song to hear an artist take it apart and explain all their secrets? And I never feel that way. I always think it's the opposite. For me, the magic is deepened. And that's something that I've learned, you know, regardless of what the song has been over the years of making the show, I always come away feeling a deeper connection to the work and also feeling inspired myself. And that was kind of the core of wanting to make Book Exploder. I wanted to see if that same feeling would continue in this other medium. And to me it has. I mean, I'm not a writer, but listening to Susan and the other authors in the series talk about how they made something makes me feel like I could make something. Like, you can go from having a blank page and come away with some kind of piece of art, whatever that the medium is. And I certainly have a deeper appreciation and love for all of the books.
What do you understand about writing now that you didn't know or understand before Book Exploder came into your life?
Susan touched on it a little bit. The amount of work that goes into writing before you're ever in the act of writing is so immense. And I gained a really deep appreciation for that, the kind of research and sort of pre-writing that happens, years of pre-writing before a single word gets put down. I never expected that.
One thing that I think also is important is this doesn't undercut the idea that there's a huge amount of the creative process that's pure inspiration, that's not mechanical, mm-hmm. That comes from some mysterious place inside someone's head. But then, you know, I think marrying the kind of conversation about craft with the understanding that there's something magical, it doesn't undercut the magic. I think it just makes you sort of appreciate that it's this combination of those two things happening simultaneously.
And Risha, how did you come up with the slate of authors?
We figured that out together. I went to Susan and said, you know, what's our dream list? And we made a huge list of authors that we both loved. And then we looked at sort of a combination of the people that Susan was friends with and had a close relationship to already. That fell within that Venn diagram of our shared love. And we reached out to those folks and, you know, asked them to take kind of a risk to say, like, would you like to be on this show that does not exist and just trust us that it's going to be okay. And we slowly started collecting the interviews like that.
And Susan, is there a piece of work that you'd read before that after speaking with the author, you began to think about differently?
I would say all of them, to be honest with you. And I feel like I would be the ideal listener for the show because each conversation made me think about the book differently or simply admire it as a piece of craft in a new way. And also, I think in each case, the authors talked about their intentions, which you, as a reader, you feel intuitively, but hearing it out loud, where you think, that's what I thought. So in every case, I felt some revelation about the book. And in every case, it made me want to go back and read the book again.
One of the other things that we talked about in terms of the slate of authors was trying to mirror something that I do on Song Exploder, which is to have a diverse range of people from different backgrounds, but also people writing different styles of books. So like Susan's book, we have Carmen Maria Machado, another piece of mm-hmm. creative nonfiction. And we also have a short story from George Saunders. So I love the sort of ways that we're applying this idea to different kinds of books and different kinds of authors.
I can't wait to hear the James McBride episode. Love him. I love to hear him talk about writing. He's so great. The name of the podcast is Book Exploder. The first episode drops today. I'm speaking with its host, Susan Orlean, as well as creator and executive producer, Rishi Hirway. Thank you so much for making this podcast.
Thanks Allison.